As is a quorum. Today, members will be making technical and procedural motions on four bills to move them back to the general register. They got kicked back to us under House Rule 4.20 during the interim. That means they come back from the floor, they go to the last committee that they passed out of, and we send them back to the floor. And procedurally, as has been done in the past by most committees of both parties, we don't really debate them much since we already did. We just send them back. Sometimes there's a controversial one people want to make a big deal out of, but in general, we just send them back because I don't want to do it twice. Then after that, we'll be hearing the data practices provisions of House File 3144, Representative Howard's insulin patient assistance program. But before that, I want to take a minute to welcome everybody back. We have a good committee here, members, that you know, and for those of you that have maybe forgotten it over the interim, we have a lot of issues that are pretty bipartisan or nonpartisan, probably is a better word for them, when it relates to data practices and open government, making government work better, and protecting people's privacy as well, Minnesotans' privacy. So I look forward to a session where we can get some good stuff done on behalf of our constituents. But before we move on, I want to introduce a few people. First, our new DFL staff researcher, Ellen McDaniel. What I think what we'll do is, because I was going to introduce Representative Albright too, since he's new to the committee, and he's reminded me at least four times that he's on this committee now. I don't know if that means if he's loaded for bear or not, but he's not here yet. So I'm sure by the time we get done, maybe I'll wait until he gets here before we do introductions, including with Ms. McDaniel. So we're moving on to approval of the minutes. Members, we have minutes of May 13th and January 29th. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for May 13th?
So moved.
Representative Cantrell moves the minutes for May 13th. Any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes of May 13th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. We do have the next motion, the minutes from January 29th, the joint hearing. Can I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Representative Scott moves the minutes from January 29th. Any discussion? All in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. Motion passes. We don't have any others, right? It was just those two.
We got it correct.
Oh. That's right. You're right. Well, we'll do the introductions. We'll do all the introductions later. Members, we have some corrections for minutes. So from the 2019 legislative session, you see in your member files you have proposed amended minutes for March 4th, March 5th, and March 6th. The minutes from March 4th had Representative O'Neill's name spelled incorrectly.
Oh.
That,
I don't know, Chair.
Well, you know, back in the day, there is still active in the Constitution as well that the legislature has authority to imprison individuals for gross acts of malfeasance. And I don't know who did this. And there actually used to be a prison cell in the basement of the Capitol where we could affect that. It's since been probably in office now. So we're not going to take that kind of action of whoever screwed up the minutes, but nonetheless, it's important to have your name spelled correctly. Do I have a motion on the March 4th minutes correction? Okay, Representative Considine, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes, the correction of the minutes for March 4th, 2019, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. Motion passes. Next is the minutes from March 5th. They had the day wrong, and the vote tally on HF6 roll call listed as 10 to 5 rather than 11 to 4. Okay, so can I have a move to approve the amended minutes for March 5th, 2019? Representative Herr moves the amended minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion passes. Then finally, the minutes from March 6th. The problem with these was that they had the day wrong, And needed to note that the meeting recessed in the morning rather than adjourned. Okay, so can I have a motion to approve the amended minutes as such for March 6th? Okay, thank you, Representative Liebling moves the amended minutes. All any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. Motion passes. Okay, with that completed, we would move to our. Is Representative Albright still not here?
He's in the hallway, and he was so excited to be
here. I know, he was really excited to be here. So, maybe he did. Well, whatever the case, we'll hold off on our introductions. We got to introduce our new CLA as well. Yeah, well, Tony doesn't know everybody. So, we're going to move to our technical and procedural votes. The following five bills were fully debated on the merits during the 2019 legislative session. Therefore, today we're not going to be taking testimony on these. The first bill will be moving as House File 298, Representative Lean, a bill on an act relating to guardians, amending the background study requirements for parents of proposed wards, and amending Section 524 of Minnesota statute. So I move that House File 298 be re-referred to the general register. We have the bill now in front of our committee. As mentioned, we won't be taking any testimony, but there is a technical amendment to change the effective date. So that's the A1 amendment members have in their packets, which updates the effective date. Is there any discussion on the A1 amendment? Actually, well, the A1 amendment needs to be moved. I will move the A1 amendment. Any discussion on the A1 amendment? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. A1 amendment is adopted. To House File 298 as amended, I remove my motion. The House File 298 as amended be re-referred to the general register. Any discussion? All in favor of said motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. Motion passes. House File 298 as amended is re-referred to the general register. The next House file we have in front of us is House File 557, Physician-Patient Relationship Protected by Non-Compete Agreements. I move that House File 557 be re-referred to the General Register. Any discussion on House File 557? Okay, all in favor of House File 557 being re-referred to the General Register, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
Motion passes. The next technical motion we have is House File 2062, Representative Dean, a bill for an act relating to human rights classifying data collected under workforce certificate of compliance. I move that House File 2062 be re-referred to the general register. Any discussion on House File 2062? Okay, then on the motion that House File 2062 be referred to the general register, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
Motion passes. Our final bill is House File 724, Representative Cantrell. This is Logan's Law, people remember, clarifying the parentage of a woman who provides donated ova, clarifying the rights of a spouse to parentage when assisted reproductive technology is used. I move that House File 724 be referred to the general register. Any discussion? Seeing none, then on the motion that House File 724 be referred to the general register, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
Motion passes. The bill is re-referred to the general register. Okay. Now, oh, yeah, there was a Cantrell bill, members, that was on the general register. Or, I'm sorry, that was in committee. That was on the calendar for today. The workforce certificates of compliance, in-state and out-state contractors. It was pulled because, remind me again why? Oh, yeah, we need an amendment on it. It's non-controversial, but we need an amendment. It wasn't prepared in time. So we'll move that to next week. So there will be another technical motion that will be coming up next week. So, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome back, everybody. I noticed that there's a couple of bills missing that were on the general register that were sent back to this committee that we didn't go through the motions to re-refer them back to the general register. One was House File 1521, which is my bill, and another was a Greg David's bill. I do believe that that one's back on, we're going to be hearing that one, but I'm just wondering about the status of House File 1521.
What can you remind me, Chair Scott, what 1521 is again?
I believe that's the shared parenting bill. No. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's educating the courts on, is it mediation? Parenting classes. That's it.
Okay. I don't know why not, but we'll find out, and I'll have an answer for you next time. And then the other one, the David's bill was?
I think it's on the calendar again now.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll find out about yours. There was another one that was that you haven't asked about, which was the digital fair repair. That was out there, too. So I think there's more than you just mentioned. I pulled the digital fair repair to talk with Representative Fisher about that and a couple other folks. I wanted to have a conversation. So I think there's more than just the ones you mentioned, but we'll find out for you next time and get an answer for you. Okay, so before we move to Representative Howard's bill, I see here Representative Albright. Welcome to the committee, Representative Albright. It's great to have you here. I fully expect you to be a great participant in this. Your keen mind and sharp intellect will add volumes to our robust deliberations. But I wanted to, if we could, go around and introduce folks, since you don't know everyone. I mean, not everyone knows you. But everyone who needs to know you knows you. I would start with, our new CLA is Jenna Mouse. And if we could, I kind of spring this on you, so you can maybe just do like a 30-second deal on who you are.
Sure.
Ms. Mouse, thank you.
Sure. I'm from Kimball, Minnesota, near St. Cloud, and I spent a session at the Senate as a page, and then I spent 2 years at the Revisors before coming here. And started in August.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Mouse. And we have our new DFL researcher, so replacing Robert. So go ahead. Introduce yourself.
My name is Elle McDaniel. I started this week. I come from the Department of Corrections Victim Assistance, and I have a background in criminal justice research.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. McDaniel. And then... Representative Albright, if you could just kind of introduce yourself to all the members.
Oh, where to start, Mr. Chair?
Indeed.
Thank you for the opportunity to serve with you on this committee. I actually did apply to be on this committee several years ago and was denied that opportunity, so I think a bit of redemption is in order for me here.
I think so.
But I look forward to the curiosity for the law and the robust debate.
Wonderful. You know, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team, too. So,
Mr. Chair, it was also said of Mr. Jordan that he waited for the game to come to him.
That's accurate. And as always, he acquitted himself with honor, as I expect you will as well. And with that, if we can just go around and starting with Representative Zhang, who was the once upon a time CLA for this committee. But now is a voting member. Go ahead and start, Representative Zhang.
I think you already did it for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did I steal your thunder? I have a bad habit of doing that. My apologies.
Welcome, staff, and Representative Albright. Jay Zhang represents Southeast St. Paul.
Mahmoud Nur representing District 60B in Minneapolis.
Hunter Cantrell representing Savage in the northwest portion of Burnsville.
Kali Herr, representing 64A in St. Paul.
Jack Constein, down from your old stomping ground, the Mankato area. Good to see you.
Tina Liebling, part of Rochester.
Andrew Carlson, Representative Albright. Just be careful what you wish for.
Kelly Moeller, representing 42A, Shoreview, Moundsview, Arden Hills. Welcome.
Rachel Ganani, committee administrator.
John Lish.
Jenna Mouse, CLA.
Mary Mullen, House Research.
Ben Johnson, House Research.
John Walls, House Fiscal Staff.
Really, we're doing this? Representative Peggy Scott.
He needs to know who everyone is, Chair Scott.
Kristen Robbins.
Eric Lucero from Albertville, St. Michael area.
Brian Johnson from Isani County. And Representative Albright, civil law is not a sentence, it's a privilege. I believe every member of the legislature should spend one term on this committee to really understand the unintended consequences of some of the bills. And it's not a sentence like HHS finance.
Marion O'Neill, 29B, Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake, and you are my classmate.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And, of course, everyone, including Ms. McDaniel and Ms. Mouse and Representative Albright, this is, of course, for the benefit of all the folks here, too. There are probably No. You got it. Callie, you got it.
Callie Lehman, GOP Research.
Thank you. Everyone in the audience needs to know who Callie is as well, too, because she's the go-to person. So with that, we are going to move to one second. Welcome to the committee. This is not your first time here, I don't think, is it?
Mr. Chair, it is. And it did just dawn on me literally 60 seconds ago, even though we're in the second session, I probably still owe treats. So hopefully I get to be back here again.
No, but you're not a freshman, though, are you? Oh, you are a freshman. Yes.
It's been a long year so far. yes. Yeah.
There are a lot of you. Okay, well, wow, I was going to kind of give you a pass because you said, yeah, that's right, Mr. Chair, I'm not a freshman, and I would have forgotten about it.
Mr. Chair, with Mike Howard, there are not enough of him.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, that is kind of a bad deal. You are going to have to come back because we do strictly adhere to that rule around here. But until then, why don't we move to your bill? And members, just so you're clear, this is the Insulin Affordability Act. And Representative Howard can go into it with much greater detail. We heard it in Commerce 2 days ago. It is being bifurcated, and portions are being sent through other committees independently so as to be able to send it to the floor as soon as possible. So we are only looking at the data practices provisions of this bill today, and with that, I will move that House File 3144 be recommended to be referred to the HHS Finance Committee. So, Representative Howard, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This is the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act. Although we weren't in this committee last year, this is a bill that we moved forward last session, as many of you know, and it didn't get across the finish line. Since the session adjourned, two more Minnesotans that we know about have lost their life rationing their insulin. So this is a deadly serious issue, and I thank the chair for hearing the bill in this committee and in the efforts to move forward quickly. I'll, in very broad strokes, talk about the aspects of this bill that require some data sharing and why those pieces are in this bill. First and foremost, the priority of this bill is to ensure that Minnesotans that can't afford their insulin have the ability to get an emergency supply when they need it in their pharmacy. And so to accomplish that, the state will contract with a third-party administrator that processes pharmacy claims the way a pharmacist traditionally processes pharmacy claims. That allows us to not reinvent the wheel, create new infrastructure, and get insulin into the hands of Minnesotans when they need it. We have language in the bill to keep that data private, and I understand there's an amendment to even further strengthen that, and look forward to the discussion on that piece as well. The other piece I want to highlight is a data sharing agreement between MinSure and DHS, that we're providing the emergency insulin, but we also want to connect Minnesotans to dependable long-term care that's affordable so we can prevent emergencies from happening in the first place or into the future. And so one of the things we do is we connect those patients to a navigator to assess their long-term options. One of those that we want to make sure is if they're eligible for a public program like Minnesota Care, that we connect them with those resources to get them onto a program so that they're not facing an emergency situation, and to facilitate that check and to make sure that that works for people. There's a data sharing piece between MinSure and DHS to accomplish that. The bill also states that we may share some level of information with drug manufacturers, who in this bill will provide a supply of insulin in the long-term insulin program. And this is would be a limited piece. We just need to make sure that, you know, they have basically a patient ID, and we line things up so that they can get the right patient the right supply of insulin. I realize I'm not describing the whole piece of the bill, but those are the key pieces that bring us here today. And I know there's an amendment before us, and Representative Scott and I had a really good conversation about it, and so look forward to that discussion as well.
Yeah, I hear you all worked out the amendment language, is that right?
Yes, I think this area of law is new for me, and I really appreciate Representative Scott bringing the amendment forward and helping talk me through what it is. And from my perspective, it improves the bill. It goes further to make sure that we're protecting the private data of Minnesotans, and so I support it.
Okay, thank you. Chair Scott, would you care to move your A1 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move my A1 amendment.
Chair Scott has moved your A1 amendment, and you have an A2 amendment to the amendment. Is that right?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. And I would like to move that as well. And to the A2, the amendment to the amendment, it's just a technical change. It's changing the reference from number 6 to a number 11 in on page 1, line 3 of the amendment.
Understood. Any discussion on the A2 amendment to the A1 amendment? All in favor of the A2 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. Motion passes. And Chair Scott, to your A1 amendment as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what this amendment does, I'll try to go through it quickly here. The first section of it is related to the third-party administrator. Whoever that might be, but it basically the amendment says that third party administrator must be subject to Chapter 13 and participate. If they get data requests, they have to comply with that, those sorts of things. So it's just making a clarification, sort of a belt and suspenders with this third party administrator, that they are subject to Chapter 13 and all those provisions. We have, and in your packets, there's a document, and it says 62V.06 data practices, and this has to do with MinSure, the laws that were created around data privacy with MinSure. And this amendment references a section of that law, and it basically is saying that this bill provides that a patient has to give consent to have their information shared, and in so doing, they have to be provided a Tennyson warning, and then the other part of that on line 1.6, it addresses the red flags go up whenever we see language like other relevant information. Which is super broad. We like to know the specific data sets that are going to be collected, are going to be shared. This bill doesn't delineate and articulate what those are. So that part of this amendment references that. But I would recommend before this bill would ever get to the House floor or whatever, that you find out what those data sets are and specify what those are in your bill. and that can be done in another committee or whatever. And I know in our discussions yesterday, you were going to try to find out exactly what was going to be shared. And that does give us a lot of heartburn if we don't know, because that is kind of a broad open door. The other part of some of the other parts of this amendment just basically prohibit when the information goes to MITNSUR or to the manufacturer that they are not allowed to sell that information. Some of the other amendments, parts of the amendment on 1.14 through 1.17, it broadens. Usually we say collected, created, maintained. This includes collected, created, received, maintained, or disseminated. So again, putting more restrictions on what can be done with the data. And then just further, again, on 1.21 and 1.22, it addresses this issue again of the patient consent. And it has that language again, the extent necessary for program operations. So we're trying to put some language in there to cover us for now. But again, that needs to be specified. So that's, and it also requires audit trails and role-based access to the information. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Scott, for that. And I had the language and took a look at it, but I confess that until you explained everything, I'm not sure I understood every provision in there. And I really appreciate you doing that. Members and folks in the audience, this is really how we do things right here, in my opinion, and looking at that, especially Chair Scott, you're highlighting the need for the delineation of the data sets. When we don't do that, we get ourselves in huge trouble later on. And this committee has spent substantial amount of time unweaving those knots that have been caused in previous sessions because we haven't looked at that. So I appreciate that, Chair Scott, and you doing that. And I hope that you take a serious look at that, Representative Howard, as you move forward from this committee. So thank you.
Chair Lesh, if I might, I forgot Chair one Scott. Provision. And it does comply with the 10-year retention period for what is required in MNSHR law, which I don't have a lot of comfort level with, but it is what it is, so we're complying with what the MNSHR retention period is.
Understood. Thank you. Chair Liebling.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just also wanted to thank Representative Scott. I was somewhat involved in putting this language together, and there are some spots in here. It refers to consent and so on, but my efforts were very unartful and, you know, not thorough like yours. And I really appreciate it. You know, that's what this committee is for, and thank you for doing so much work. This bill really, you know, there's a lot in this bill that's a result of a lot of bipartisan work, and this issue should be completely bipartisan because, you know, the whole thing about no Minnesotan should die because they can't access insulin when they need it, and that's just kind of, you know, basic. And so your contribution is deeply appreciated. Thank you so much.
Other discussion on this? Representative Howard?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to again thank Representative Scott. And to your question about data sets, I've already had some discussions. And process-wise, this is not the specific bill that's going to move to the floor. House File 3100 is. So that will require us to move an amendment like this onto House File 3100, which I intend to do. But also intend to stay in touch if there can be further clarification to that amendment as the process moves forward.
Thank you. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is more a process question for you. But if this body amends the bill, if we're dealing with the most recent engrossment as it moves forward in the process, how will that be accomplished?
Okay, right. Yeah, it's going to HHS finance, so amendments get incorporated in the HHS finance version that they see.
So, Mr. Chair, in light of if there's a concurrence to this being heard in this body, then we're hearing it, I believe, in a HHS policy this afternoon, and I'm wondering if what form that engrossment will take in that that engrossment. Is it amendable there, or are we going to see the same one there without it being aware of the engrossment that's being taken care of here before it moves to finance?
Yes, Representative Albright, I don't think this language will not be in. If this is in HHS policy this afternoon, you won't see Chair Scott's amendment in there. Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. So the multiple versions will ultimately all be incorporated in the version introduced in HHS finance.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Albright.
I know it's making sausage, and we all understand that, but in terms of the availability to the most recently engrossed version of the bill, even in a clone version, going through various committees, how are we providing fair and accurate information to each one of the members on those committees if it's being engrossed in one but not in another on the same day concurrent with the deliberations?
Sure. Representative Albright, it is a fair process question. We don't often do this where we split provisions off and meet back, although I will say that because of this committee's data practices provisions, it happens here more than it does in other committees, because someone before deadlines realizes, oh, we've got data practices, so they split off a version and then we hear it here. Yeah, it's not the preferred way of doing things. I think this body, or leadership of this body, decided that the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act was important enough to act on it quickly enough, and this is the way we were going to do it, to try to get that relief and make it happen early. So that's why.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Albright. Any other questions on the A1 amendment as amended? Then all in favor of the A1 amendment as amended, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed say no. Motion passes. We will not, well, the bill is amended, but is there discussion from the audience? Anyone from the audience who wants to testify? And I would note that our discussion is going to be limited to the data practices provisions, which is 2.5 to 2.6 and 8.27 to 9.3. So our discussion today will be limited in scope to those portions. Anyone from the audience or the public who wants to weigh in on this? I don't see anyone moving. Committee discussion on the data practice provisions. Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And mine's really not on a data provision, but on a kind of a lawsuit potential provision, or not even provision, but the possibility of that. And I just had a question for the author, if that's appropriate at this time.
I think so. I'll allow it. Go ahead, Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I mean, if he can answer it.
And what I'm hearing is that there's likely going to be a lawsuit by the manufacturers against what we're doing, what this bill does, under the takings clause of the Constitution, and that could cause the initiative that you're trying to accomplish here and getting insulin out to people who need it, that could cause quite a delay. And so I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that, if you've thought about that, and if you have concerns about it, and how that will affect the, you know, people that need insulin that may have to wait another 2 years or more, depending on a potential lawsuit.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott. This specific taking clause issue is new. We just heard about it this week. So we are looking into it. But I'll just say, generally speaking, the threat of lawsuits from drug manufacturers is not new. And we heard some of that during the debate on opioids, for example. And the reality is the legislature, we have to move forward with what we think is best for Minnesotans and for patients. And so that will be the priority going forward.
Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no other discussion from members on House File 3144 as amended, then the chair renews my motion
that House File 3144, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the HHS Finance Committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
Motion passes. Members, we have no other agenda business, but I will be bringing up a couple of items, including the fact our next meeting is Tuesday, February 18th, where we'll be hearing data practices. It'll be data practices day. We've got, I mean, every day is data practices day, really.
Yeah. Reason for the season.
So we've got Representative Christensen removing race from data on certificates of marriage, and then my bill on UAVs, my bill on tracking warrants, and my bill on search warrants. So that'll be Tuesday. But before we adjourn, members, I wanted to note that we have news about a distinguished member of this committee, Representative Barr, who is not here, and I'd like to recognize Chair Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Barr's wife has been ill for quite some time. She had some sort of a transplant years ago, and I don't remember if it's kidney or what, but she passed away this morning. So just keep them in your thoughts and prayers. It's been a really difficult time, as you can imagine, for Cal and his family. I think they have two grown daughters.
Thank you, Chair Scott, for that. Representative Barr is a very good guy, has served well on this committee, and all the members of this committee wish him and his family the best, and we send our prayers with them during this really difficult time. So please be sensitive to that moving forward. Members, did you have anything else, Chair Scott? There being no other business before the committee is adjourned.